Straight A's. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
And another one rolls round again.
Look at that. In the blink of an
eye. It's almost like these come around every week.
It's almost, it is, isn't it? But they always come as a terrible shock, you know.
They do.
These podcasts hit me in a way that, like, Christmas or birthdays hit Kelly, you know.
Yeah.
Like, even you know if they're coming, you know, or you're a holiday, you know that way.
Yeah.
We plan a holiday now for Christmas, right? We've done it, right? Mm. Christmas, we're going away back to Boston again. And it's 6 months from now. More than 6 months. And here's the thing. I know that on the 20th of December, it's going to come as a huge fucking shock that we're going away in 5 days.
Yeah.
I know, you know that way.
Yeah.
I know they're going to go, what? We've got nothing done. You know, you go, well, I do. I don't care.
Yeah. Do you know what it reminds me of? PJ and myself worked in a previous environment. And obviously, as in any job, you have to book your holidays in. So you have to say, you know, you're taking the 2 weeks in June or the whatever you're taking off.
Yeah, and we always did it months in advance now, yeah, to give us credit for this. Yeah.
And the particular boss we had at the time used to have a wall chart.
Yeah, so you'd go in and you'd say to him, right, and it'd be June. So you'd go in and say, right, Christmas, we're going to run it. And in fairness, Jim and myself, we do book these things here.
Yeah.
So it's June, we're going Christmas, we're going to take off that week after and whatever.
Yeah.
And he'd go, grant, and he'd write it on his calendar.
Yeah.
And then you'd go in 2 days before the holidays and say, just a reminder,
yeah,
I'm not in next week, so if you want us to record anything, we'll do it now. And he'd turn around and go, what the fuck are you talking about? You're fucking robbing me. Oh, yeah? What do you mean? And he'd look at the calendar and go, who put that there? This is... Oh, yeah.
And
pair of
bastards. Say it to him.
I haven't even booked anyone else in. What am I supposed to do now? And you go, I don't know what you're supposed to do.
And you would say to him, but I told you. Like, I mean, you, look, it's written.
And you go, yeah, you told me 6 months ago. Yeah, so what am I supposed to do? Remember that? Ah, Jesus Christ. Ah, who am I going to get?
That's why you have your wall chart thingy.
This is...
every
fucking time,
God,
you go on holidays, you do this to me. You walk in 2 days beforehand. And you go, no, look, it's 6 months. It's 6 months. You go, every time you do it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
All the time, yeah.
Oh, man.
I like, you know, that's...
Mind you, I have to confess, though, that, like, the trouble, I tell you what, the little bit of that I'd be guilty of is that if somebody says to me about doing something and it's enough weeks away, in fact, enough days away, and I go, oh, yeah, grand, whatever, and it doesn't have an emotional impact on me. I don't think, oh, fuck. Oh, or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it rolls around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember we were going to do that lunch on the thing. You're still all right for tomorrow. Oh, shit.
But you get like that.
Smacks you in the face.
You get like that even if you're paid for it. This is what I know about Jim.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%.
Jim does this thing where he goes, I'd love a bit of side work, you know, an extra few quid. He's always, I'd love it, you know, it's always...
You can always do a bit of a side hustle.
Bit of MC work, you know, a few events, you know, do all that sort of rock around a few events. And people will go, grand. And then one will come along and say, Jim, here we go, 12th of October,
yeah,
do the same thing. And you'll go, grand, put it in the diary, grand, that's a handy few hundred quid. And then the day of it, oh, I can't believe this. I actually can't believe I have to do it. Why did I agree to that? Because we're getting paid. Oh, we're getting paid. Well, you always come on.
What's wrong with that? Look, we're all the same. You know what I mean? Yes, you.
Yeah.
I'm saying you do it.
I do it as well. I'm doing it on Saturday, and I'm already raging.
You say you want the work or whatever. What you really mean is you want the money.
The money.
You know what I mean? You're like, I mean, you know, everybody turns around and says, "Oh, a bit of extra work. You know, could do it a bit of overtime. Could do it a bit of whatever."
Yeah, no.
But if you got overtime in your job, you'd literally go, "Jesus, I'm here till 8 o'clock tonight." Unbelievable, this is.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah, but you asked for it.
I know. I asked.
That's shut up.
If I asked for a kick in the head, would you give me one?
Because yeah, that is it. We use work when we mean money. We mean money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
I can't get a job. Can you not? No. Have you, like, but what do you want to do? What do you mean, what do I want to do? Like, what job do you want to do? Well, I don't know. Well, then,
an easy one.
Well, yeah.
What's an easy one?
Because what you really mean is, I wish I had more money.
Yeah. But, and I will say, to your credit, you do it. When it's stuff like that, you give out when it's stuff that's expected of you have to do that you wouldn't volunteer to do, right?
Right.
I do it about stuff I've been looking forward to for months. So I'll see an ad and go, oh my God, I have to go to that. I can't wait to go to that. You know,
an ad for like a concert or something?
Chelsea are playing Bowls.
Oh, right, okay.
I go, amazing, I can't wait. How do I get a ticket? I'll scramble. Who do I know? What do I do? I can't. Right, got a ticket. Oh, amazing. sorted. I'll be dying to go to that now. On the day. Ah, Jesus. Can't even sell it. I'm after 10 and 12 people are going to be there. I told the whole world they're going to be there. Go, but no one's asking. You don't have to go.
Oh, do I not have to go? And I told everyone I'm going.
You're going to enjoy it.
Oh, my God, I'm enjoying it.
They're like, yes, you are going to enjoy it. Oh, will I now?
Yeah.
And then I go, and I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I love it, and I come home. How'd you have it? What, did you enjoy that? Yeah, I did. Told you. Did you? Yeah, you told me you'd enjoy it, did you?
Come here, yeah. Do you reckon? Now, is that just the human condition, or is that just us?
Is
everybody like that? Is everybody like that, where, you know?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why, right? Within a 2 foot proximity of us right now, through a pane of glass, there is a man who goes to everything and seems to look forward to everything.
Yeah.
And seems to have no reservations about going to things.
Yeah.
You know, he goes.
It doesn't appear to let life get in the way of him doing
not at all.
Because the way you and I are is that if we have any event, first of all, it's what's the time? Because our paramount concern is, what time will I get to bed?
Yeah. Where am I going to eat?
Yeah.
Where am I going to eat?
Yeah, will there be food? So, what time is it over at? That's the first
one.
Is there any food at it?
Is there any food? And how will I get home?
Where is for?
And then they just worry about the details on the day or after.
Yeah, deal with the aftermath.
Or they simplify it. You know, I can get the bus there, get started, be home, whatever. Yeah. We're like, bus in the dirt.
Yeah.
I might as well just be on the ferry to Wales. Bus in the dirt at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
9 o'clock at night. You want me to get a bus? I'd be murdered.
We do have. It does warp your kind of outlook.
It does, yeah. Oh, it really does.
And then whatever about you, obviously considering things like, you know, time, because you have to get up so early for this show and all that sort of stuff. Like, and then I have to factor in, you know.
Oh yeah, you have to get back to the hills and all. Jim has to like book a donkey and a mule guide, and he has to get the sheriff to bring him up. To carry his bags. And all that sort of stuff, and then he can only come down in 10 months of the year because the other 2 months are cut off from moose hunting season. And all that sort of stuff. You do have an extra pain with it all. I know that.
Is there one of those little whatever they're called, those little why can't I think of the word, you know, those letter things like FOMO or any of that sort of stuff.
An abbreviation or an acronym, or whatever.
For what we have, the equivalent of it, you know, because the FOMO is the fear of missing out. We certainly don't have that.
Yeah, it's CBA. We got CBA.
Which is what?
Couldn't be arsed.
That's a possibility.
Well, a bad case of CBA. Couldn't be arsed,
But I'm saying, even for you, that, like, you know, you'd look forward to it. Like the many concerts we've heard about over the years,
loads,
right, that you've looked forward to. You've actually gone to spending your own money. It's not even that, like, you've blagged a ticket. You've spent money on it, bought, you know, tickets for, like, whatever it might be over the years.
Not gone, no. No, I just thought, this is going to be hell. I don't want to do it now. As soon as I got the tickets. We talk about it a lot in the show, but this genuinely happened. We both are huge fans of Madness, right?
Yeah.
And Madness, the band, had a promotion on our show that meant we would get free tickets to see them around the corner from where we are now.
Yeah.
Around the corner. They were playing with Squeeze, another band both of us always say we'd love to see around the corner the same night as Madness. We went to the venue. We went in the door. We sat down. We had 2 pints. The gig started and we says, we'll be grand.
Will we get another round?
Will we get another round? And then we go home. It's getting late.
Yeah.
It's getting late.
It was. That is true.
And that's my most disgraceful.
That is
I have
the worst,
say.
Yeah. Now, there's no defending that.
That's like
it was literally like you could open the door. That was the only thing between us and the performance.
Yeah, it was open the door.
Just the door.
Every time the door opened for someone coming back to the bar, you could hear the music and it would close. But we were sitting there.
Yeah. I don't know what we have. We have a weird...
And it's also sometimes, you know, I think there's an intention to feel a certain way. Like, you know, everybody says these things like, oh, go out, you'll feel better. I don't think they understand that sometimes, it's like Mrs. Doyle, maybe we like the misery.
Yeah.
You know, there is sometimes...
Actually, Tom Hardy, you know the way this week on the show we're doing this thing with the bike riders and Tom Hardy.
Oh, the movie on Tuesday night. Yes,
yeah, the new movie.
Yeah.
And he has a famous quote about how, you know, the type of people who just don't understand that sometimes sitting in your house on your own, on your sofa, doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
is the greatest form it's of greatest, paradise.
It's paradise. That's
self-care.
Yeah,
and,
mindfulness, you know, and all. Yeah, that's what
like
it is.
The whole idea of like get out into nature and, you know, see your friends, be surrounded by your friends. They'll make you feel better and all.
I know.
There's a lot to
I
be said.
I don't want to be surrounded by squirrels and my friends. I want to be surrounded by jellies and Twixes on my own.
Yeah.
With the telly on.
Yeah, mindlessly watching, you know.
Yeah, and then when my partner's talking to me, saying nice things, I want to be rolling my eyes in the other room going, you know, these are the things I want to do.
They
you
are,
know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're those are the most enjoyable
things.
The time
they were called out.
Like, I would say some of the happiest times I've ever had have been holiday. Some of the best holidays I've ever had were holidays I weren't on. Do you know what I mean? And that's the truth.
Holidays you didn't
holidays
go on.
Holidays I wasn't on. So Kelly or whoever I was with over the years, they would say, I'm going on a holiday thing with my friends. And I'd be like, grand. Will you be all right? I'd be grand. When is it? And they'd say, whatever. And then I would look forward to their holiday. So they leave. And then I'm just like standing there wearing nothing but a t-shirt. Eating a bag of chips with a telly on.
I get that.
Enjoying every bit of it.
Yeah.
And then the phone would ring. And I wouldn't answer it. And I'd send them a message. Sorry, hope you're enjoying the holiday, but I'm just too busy to answer it at the moment, you know.
Yeah.
And what are you doing? Jim's here. He's not here.
Yeah, you just lied so that they wouldn't continue to ask you questions.
Jim and me would never hang out unless we were paid to hang out. Those are the happiest moments. Those are the best holidays I've had. The best holidays I've ever had have been the holidays I've never been on.
That's a good way of looking at it, actually.
The best friendships I have are friends I never talk to. My best friend. I don't even know if he's dead.
Yeah.
I hope he's not.
I haven't spoke to him in a few years.
He's not. I hope he's not. He's a lovely fella. Well, you know, in another 20 years, I'll give him a call.
We'll find out. Assuming his death notice doesn't come up before then.
Yeah, somebody will send me a mass card and I'll go to the funeral.
But the weird thing is, right, like, with me, or whatever, as you point out all the time, the idea of, say, no, whatever the event is, whether it's having to do it for work or having to do it for, you know, a social thing or whatever, I'll probably turn it inside, I'll turn myself inside out.
Oh, you will, you'll overthink the life.
Exactly. I'll have concerns about stuff you should never have concerns about.
Jim worries about the stuff that happens before you even get there. What do you wear? What are everyone's wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
What are you wearing?
Are you all wearing socks? You're all wearing socks, are you? Just I don't want my leg to roll up and have a pair of socks if no one else is wearing socks.
Yeah,
and
then it might be a no sock event.
Will someone send me a Google map thing to where the park? Is there parking? Where's the parking? What's the parking? Is the parking expensive? Is there indoor parking or outdoor parking? Will I need a jacket to go from the car to the thing? And then before we even in, you're starting to worry about it.
You better believe it.
Yeah.
But what's it for you then? What is it? Is it just bone idleness or
yes.
Like what is this?
Yes, you're right. Yeah, bro, that's it.
No,
yeah.
What is it? You kind of like what makes you go? Ah, oh, for Jesus' sake! I can't believe I said yes to a sir. That I even wanted to go to it in the first place.
I'll tell you what it is. It's like a dog. Do you ever see a dog? You let the dog into the garden. And he goes out and you close the door behind him. And then he starts barking. You open the door and what do you want? He goes, I want to come in. That's me.
Right.
And the other way a dog is like, I want to go out. And you go, jeez. And you open the door. And he goes out. And then the first thing he does is look back and he goes, let me in.
So you just always want something.
In a constant state of want. I'm a wanter. That's me. I'm a wanter.
Wow.
You know,
I think we've unearthed some. I think that's a profound part of humanity we've just found there.
I'm a wanter. I saw my two kids, my two babies, right, are very much like me and Jim, right? And in this case, right? So Milo is the boy is me and Jim is the girl in this analogy, right? The other day, she picked something up and he took it. And then she picked up another thing and he took it. And then she picked up a third thing and he started crying because he couldn't hold it.
Because his hands were already full.
So he started crying. And that is me and Jim.
Because he wanted that.
Because he wanted that as well. But there's nowhere to put it. And then if you ask him, why do you want it? He goes, that's me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's me.
That is an insight there.
Where Jim is just trying to get through his life, have one thing to entertain himself with. He can't have it. I need everything. I'm a wanter.
I think we've stumbled into some.
There's something there.
There'll be scientists studying that now.
Yeah. If you put me and Jim sitting in a room with nappies on, that's exactly what's happening. I'm a wanter.
Right. Well, let's give you.
The thing is, me and Jim very well might end up in a room together with nappies on.
Well, that is quite true. That
just
is,
give
that,
us. That,
that's a distinct possibility.
Just give us 20 more years of lack of movement.
Let's get. Whether you want them or not, by the way, we're going to give you some of the bits from during the week on the show. There was all sorts going on. Obviously, depending on when you're listening to this, it may be before or after Father's Day. And we were talking about dad jokes. And I'll tell you something. The dad joke gets slagged all the time.
All the time.
It's supposed to be the ultimate, you know, rubbish.
Terrible joke. Eye roller. Not funny.
Everybody loved it.
Everybody had a good time.
Everybody had a good time. Also, seagulls.
They just keep coming back.
We must spend more time talking about seagulls than your average fucking ornithologist.
Ireland. Yeah. Birdwatch Ireland don't spend as much time talking about it, yeah.
Bizarre.
Even though the man's name, second name is Hatch that runs Birdwatch Ireland. I don't know why that makes me laugh every time I think of it.
Also, we're a judgy bunch, and I don't just mean PJ and myself. We're all a judgy bunch, especially when it comes to other people's houses.
Other people's houses, yeah. Wait to hear what I had to say about Jim's house.
And also... Who'd have thought it? But the Fonz made an impromptu appearance on the show. Okay,
yes.
not in person necessarily, but you know.
But an impromptu Irish appearance overall, I think it's fair to say, yeah.
So listen, have a listen. Oh, so listen, have a listen. I'm not going to say anymore.
I want three listens. I want them. I want three listens.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
But as you know, PJ and myself agree on very few things. But one of the things we do agree on is we wouldn't necessarily thank you for an invite to your house.
No, I would never want to go to your house. I never want to. And well, here's another one. I don't want you in my house either.
Yes, exactly.
No matter who it is,
we concur on this.
There's people I really, really like. Let's be honest, like even people... That you love. Like, I think a lot of marriages would last longer if people just didn't have to live together. And this is the truth.
So, as much as you love your other half, you don't necessarily want them in your house.
I would love to live next door to Kelly. And I'll tell you something, Kelly'd love to live next door to me.
Well,
you know,
exactly.
I think she'd be delighted to have space like
that. But if you do get
space like that
invite, okay, now, would you be judgy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It depends on the house now, honestly.
Judgy on what basis? Like, would you...
Well, I'll tell you now.
Whiffs and things, or...
Whiffs
decor.
And... Whiffs and dust and decor and, you know...
Dust.
Tat.
Tat?
I'm a harsh judge of tat.
One man's tat...
Is another man's rubbish. You know, it's literally, you know, tit for tat. And I am a very harsh judger of tat.
Right.
When you go around someone's house. So, like, you know, if they
what
have...
What qualifies as tat?
Fridge
An
magnets.
Ornament.
Ornaments, yeah. Ornaments, you know. Stuff that, you know...
Dust gatherers.
Dust gathering tat. A little stupid clock on over the fireplace or, you know, Chinese plates and all. All these things. Tat. Absolute
ducks,
tat.
Ducks going up
ducks
a wall.
Ducks going on walls. you know what I'm talking about? Like, decorative cups. A cup that has Malaga 2011 on it.
Doilies.
Doilies. Flipping doilies. You know, tat. I hate tat. I really do, yeah.
Oh.
And I'm not the only one. And they say that 66% or something of people who go to other people's houses are ferociously judgmental when it comes to their friends' houses now.
Okay.
You know, like, Jim has no tat. You want to see Jim's car. Jim actually has full-time staff cleaning in the car. It's unbelievable the way he... I was in his house briefly. I've never seen anything like it. There was a dog in the house, and it was like the dog was able to hover in the midair. Nothing. Immaculate. Immaculate. So it was hard to judge Jim's house. Couldn't. I was dying to, but couldn't.
But it's not only decor, apparently.
No,
that
it's other
behaviours
stuff.
Get judged as well, don't they?
Yeah, so they asked people, like, what do you be judging when you go to someone's house? And one fella says, oh, if I go through their CD collection, who has, for a start, CDs for me? Tat. No one needs CDs anymore.
Really?
Tat. But if some guy goes through it and he says, if there's no AC/DC or anything near the front, he crossed them off, doesn't he ever, never wants to go to the house again. It's like, you know, that's very judgmental.
Goes through their CD collection.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in front of them, as in, hang on a second.
Well, what CDs
so,
have you got?
Words,
yeah, brilliant. Pretends they're looking at
it. Do you want a cup of tea, PJ? Hang on a second. I'll tell you now in a second. Let me just look through here. Looking. Oh, no AC/DC. No, you can keep your tea. I'm off.
Stick it up your ZZ Top. I'm out of here. And another fella says that, you know, a friend says, come around, we'll have a couple of beers, right?
Right.
So he does this thing. This is where his judgment comes from. He brings a bag of his beers. You know, he gets his beer and he brings them over.
Sack of cans.
He goes over and he opens the fridge to put his cans in the fridge, right? And if he sees the fella who asked him over for beer hasn't bought enough for the two of them, He goes, right, no invite to my house then. Off the sack of cans list. Because the deal he says is, if I ask Jim McCabe over, he comes over with his own.
Yeah.
But you should be able to go home with yours because I've already bought. And says, oh, no, you didn't have to do that. Sure.
Oh,
you
know. Yeah.
And so then he goes, right, never, so I'm never meeting him again.
The bringing of it is only just a
token.
A sort of a token gesture, yeah. Like a polite
and
token.
You can put yours in the fridge and the next time he comes over, he'll go home with his bag. This is his unwritten rule in his head.
God, there's a lot to take in here, isn't
it? I wouldn't even turn up with that. Oh, you didn't? All right, I'll go back out there. I'll go back out to the spar there, will I? You asked me to be here.
No, you turn up and you'd go, what, you haven't got enough beers for everybody? Right, I'll babysit the house. You go.
What did you do?
You go and buy.
You head off then. What did you? Yeah, you asked us to come over and do it.
I, to be fair, I actually kind of agree with that.
Yeah, you said
if you
come
invite
over.
Somebody over. I mean, as much as they might politely bring a bottle or bring a thing,
it's
obviously
polite. It's polite.
But yeah, you should have enough on board yourself.
If someone asked me over for dinner, I wouldn't arrive with my own chips.
That's what I mean.
You know.
Yeah. Come over and have dinner with us.
Okay, right. What will I bring
it with you.
Bring your dinner with you. We're not cooking it. You know, you seriously.
I agree with that.
Also, there's a guy, he's a DIY obsessive. He goes into someone's house and he does that thing where he shakes the tables and the shelves, makes sure everything's sturdy, looks at the wall, the door. He'd be talking. Good, who did that for you now? That's pretty good.
Shakes the shelves.
Yeah, shakes the shelves. Sees how...
What you put that up with?
Yeah, what you put that up with?
Yeah. Are they...
Did that for you?
Are they 7-inch grills?
Yeah, who did that? Them radiators are mad tight in the world. They're great. Who did them? That's great.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he says if anything wobbles or it's shaky, or he'd be like, obviously not for your house, proud, huh?
Jeepers, the night.
I didn't want to, I was afraid to walk in the house, the ceiling would fall down on top of me, just staying in the way they live.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Yes, happy days. What a show that was.
So brilliant, wasn't it?
What
so
a
iconic,
show.
So iconic. American teenagers played by 30-year-olds running around, giving us these daft situations. We all thought they were so cool. And
Richie and Chachi. Was Chachi one of them? Jody
and Chachi.
And Potsy.
And Potsy, yeah.
And of course, the most iconic of them all. Hey.
Fonz.
The Fonz.
Mr. Fonzarelli. Of course, he was known as sort of Mr. Cool because we really did believe in the 80s that a man hanging around with people way too young to be hanging around with in a white t-shirt, riding motorcycle.
Providing you're wearing a motorbike jacket.
You were cool.
It was perfectly acceptable.
Totally acceptable, totally cool. Well, yesterday. Was it yesterday? It was. In the Shelburne Hotel, there was a fire alarm went off. And, you know, the Shelburne, people stay in the Shelburne. It's not just your old willy-nilly. It's not like, you know, it's the Jim McCabe's and me. You know, we're more Travelodge people now.
How very dare you.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry, Jim might be Premier Ian. They were evacuated onto the street. And who was amongst them? Henry Winkleman, Fonz.
Fonz himself.
Mr. Cool. And it was so...
I didn't even know he was in town.
Neither did
I. Or why he was in town.
I still don't.
Yeah.
I still don't. And you know something? I don't even care. What I do care about is he was cool. He was really cool.
Yeah.
He let people interview him and talk
exactly.
to people.
Exactly. He actually spoke after the, what would you call it? After the drama, after the emergency.
After the alert,
the evacuation. Here's what the Fonz had to say about it.
When I heard the fire alarm, I thought it was the clock radio. I thought somebody had set the alarm before we got there, you know, like another guest. And finally, I went into another room and it was still buzzing. So I called downstairs and the woman said in a very calm voice, yes, we're all evacuating. You must evacuate right now. You know what? How wonderful. Firemen are some of my favorite human beings. Firemen and firewomen. They run in when other people are running out. I think they deserve to be shot.
There you go.
Well, look at that. And was that sound of him? So many people wouldn't do interviews.
Henry Winkler, the Fonz himself.
He did pictures with all the fire brigade, the Dublin Fire Brigade and everything
brilliant.
Afterwards.
The only thing I would ask is, how loud are the clock alarms in the
Shelburne?
If he thought it was his radio clock alarm just going off, that's... You wouldn't sleep through one of them.
How many rooms did he have in the Shelburne? He goes, I went into my other room. And it was still going on in there. You know, how many rooms does the Fonz take when he's going to a hotel? He's
incredible.
He's like Baby Bear. I went into the first room where the red was too hard. And then I went into my other room and the bed was too soft.
But yeah, it was cool. And fair play to him praising the firefighters, which is absolutely true. Of course, all of those emergency people should be great. But you do have to feel that there's going to be a couple of firefighters somewhere who are going to live off the fact.
Big time.
You know, they are going to turn it into, you know, I'm on the phones. I saved his life once. Did you?
Saved
his life. Yeah.
Yeah, pulled him out of a burning
building.
Yeah.
Well, it was either that or I saved him from his radio clock alarm. But anyway, I saved his life, you know what I mean?
Or else there'll be a fireman somewhere that has now got the nickname Da Fonz for the rest of his career.
He's coming out. It's there. Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Taylor Swift is not of the Nova Nation.
No,
okay?
No.
Very different.
Not for us, but a phenomenon.
Yeah, but it's impossible. I mean, look it. When you have, is it CNN or Fox or somebody have their own designated...
It's CNN,
CNN Taylor Swift correspondent. So in addition to your political correspondent or your financial or whatever, all the big... You've got your own dedicated... To Taylor Swift. And there was a radio station recently set up that was going to just do play nothing but
Taylor Swift
for 24 hours a day. And so it's madness to us, I admit, okay? And places where she's going to play concerts, they've got like Taylor Town.
Oh.
Where they set up entire, like, fan zones.
Oh yeah, it's incredible.
Like it was a World Cup or something.
It is literally a phenomenon, like a worldwide cult, music cult, yeah.
But if you think that is mad...
Well,
imagine getting a story out of this.
Well, this is the thing, because now, no matter what it is that happens at a Taylor Swift concert, even if it's the most normal thing, it becomes newsworthy. Edinburgh Live have a big story today. Woman got seagull pooped on at a Taylor Swift concert. Unbelievable. Imagine that. Going out to your concert and a seagull opens his backside and fills you up with poop. Oh my God! Woman,
that's the story. Bird pooped on a woman.
Yeah, we have video footage. They have video footage, right?
Video footage of
a horrified fan. They say, who captured and witnessed one girl getting. It says a word that you can only use in Scottish press there now. That much, and it says that everyone else was then living in fear. In case they would become the next victim.
Living in fear.
That's what it says.
Of a seagull poo.
Yeah, they said when they went in, the fans, they didn't help. That rubbish was strewn, which is another Scottish word, strewn everywhere in the queuing section, and it piled up. And a flock of seagulls were flying around to terrified fans. And fans didn't like the seagulls. And one of them then opened its...
derriere.
It's opened the far side and it let it go, and a horrified fan's night was absolutely ruined. While everyone else lived in fear.
Hard to know which category to put this into, right?
Yeah.
Whether to put it into the Taylor Swift madness category, right? The ridiculousness of the stuff that goes on around her, or to put it into a very slow news day.
Very slow news day, I think.
So it made the news that somebody... went on by a bird.
Yeah. And it was definitely a slow news day, because when you look at the detail in the article, a 34-year-old who went to see a pop star who has a legion of fans around the world. Like, they really are filling space here, you know. And they were looking for a good spot to get close to the stage. After a long time, however, it seemed as though things were not going to plan as a flock of seagulls arrived. You know, it goes into such detail.
It makes it sound like they targeted it.
Yeah, like they're
like a flock of seagulls had gotten together.
Yeah, like her ex fella had paid a seagull to go in and say, "See her there, the flowery dress. Drop a turd right down the back of her hair."
Glory days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Much maligned, though they may be, let's face it, the dad joke, it can be a thing of beauty.
It can be a thing of
beauty. Maybe it's only to us, people of a certain age, I don't know. But I do think the dad joke, as much as it became a cliche, as much as it became, as I say, much maligned, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, dad jokes are ultimately just great one-liners, aren't they?
Or even better, terrible one-liners that lure people into thinking it might be a good one-liner.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of
actually
way,
that's a fair point. Yeah, that's terrible way, one-liners as
you
well.
Know, when you tell a joke, you go, oh, here's a good one for you. And people actually believe you have a good joke, and then you just let everyone down collectively. But trust me, I'm used to that.
But it's lasted. They've lasted, you know what I mean?
Of course they have. Yeah, they're great crack.
And now they've apparently done... Now, who's decided these are the best dad jokes?
Just surveys. They just surveyed a load of people. You know, randomly surveyed a whole load of people. Who are these people who take part in the surveys? I don't know. But yeah. To say, what's your best dad joke? And these are the ones that kept coming up over and over and over again.
Right, and it just so happens that we have both a dad and a joker in our midst.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the best thing about a dad joke is you have to drop it into conversation, I think. That's
okay,
the best use.
Well, let me just set the scene just to try and help you along. Because you know atmosphere, context is very, very important. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Let me just set the scene for you here.
This is so stupid. It's so stupid.
Because I have a sneaky suspicion this is going to be a corn fest. Well, but anyway.
Oh, well, Jim, honestly, before I even get to the jokes, I forgot to tell you, I was out last night, you know. I actually went to a seafood disco. But I'm not feeling great this morning because I pulled a muzzle.
I wish I had one of those moments. A seafood restaurant and you pulled a muscle.
Yeah, yeah. And while you're waiting, I was you shop online a bit, don't you?
Yeah.
You ever get anything off Amazon? Because I ordered a chicken and an egg there yesterday and I've no idea which one's going to come first.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you know why Snoop Dogg is always carrying an umbrella these days, by the way?
Why?
Faux drizzle, man. Faux drizzle. That's why. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Every time I take the dog to the park now, the ducks are trying to bite him. It's really gas, you know. I guess that's what you get when you bring a purebred to the park. Get up out of that!
Purebred! Oh, Lord. That was almost too subtle to qualify as a dad joke.
And also, to the lad who stole my copy there of Microsoft Office, I'm going to get you, man. You have my word. You know what I mean?
Whoa.
Remember when you were young, your dad used to use you to make you change the TV stations and all, then the remote control came along.
Yeah.
Never forget the first time I saw a remote control. I remember thinking to myself, this changes everything. Yeah.
How many are we in so far?
Jim, there's loads left. You know the drummer? You know the drummer comes in here the other time. He's after having twin daughters, you see that? Calls him Anna 1, Anna 2.
Oh, dear Lord.
Anyway, I have to go and check my bank balance. I'm not saying it wrong. That joke won't work. It's probably still better that way.
What should it have been?
It says I was at the bank earlier and a lady says, would you check me balance? And I saw her, so I pushed her over. It wasn't great. Honestly, like, I mean, they go on and on and on. One of my favourite dad jokes was, I walked into a pet shop, right? This is my own dad joke now. This isn't off the list.
Okay.
And I says, here, come here. I'll have 2 wasps, please. And your man goes, I don't sell wasps. So I says, well, yeah. Why is there 2 of them in the window there?
We got there in the end.
I love the way all the terrible jokes he lets sit, but as soon as I say the one I like,
he knows where you are now. It only arrived for that one. It literally plummeted in.
Yeah, and now the problem is every other dad joke I can think of, and there's quite a few, are just too rude for radio.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
always
that's
the way.
Problem. You always run out, don't you? Yeah. And that's what happens. You're in a pub, you're telling dad jokes, simple jokes, and then some fella goes, oh, 2 fellas, boy. Being a field with a goat. You're like, I don't want to hear.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear.
We'll stop you there.
Yeah.
We'll stop
leave you there. Leave it there now. That's the end of that. Yeah.
To be fair, like, well, you know my favourite dad joke anyway, don't you? Is it even qualify as a dad
What's
joke?
What's your one?
Well, my favourite one of all time is the one of, like, this is me step ladder. Me real ladder ran away when I was a child.
You love that joke. Too. You know, we're going to get millions of these now.
I know.
This morning.
Yeah.
You know.
Have you got one? Have you got even your favourite one liner?
My favourite young liner, I says, oh God, what's the horse say when you fell over? He says, oh, you're not going to believe it, but I can't get you up.
That doesn't even deserve it. I actually feel bad about that. Yeah, you're right. And so you
feel.
With PJ and Jim.
Radio Nova.
As predicted, You sparked yet another.
So what have I done now?
You literally opened a can of scallops earlier on.
Let's never remember the potato scandal.
And now your dad jokes have inspired a plethora of WhatsApps as well.
That's not a good
of
thing,
dad
right?
Jokes.
I hope so.
Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, you know something? Yes, I do.
Just remember you asked, right? Okay, first one that came in was, why did the dinosaur cross the road?
Why did the dinosaur cross the road?
No chickens in them days.
Boom. Not the best of the day.
No.
I mean, not the best.
I'll never forget my granddad's last words to me just before he died.
What was that now?
Stop shaking the bloody ladder.
That'll help.
Does that even qualify as a dad?
This actually feels like we're in an old Carry On Laughing movie, doesn't it?
Wow. When my dad was sick, they brought him into hospital and put lard all over his body.
Oh, I heard what happened to this fella.
He went downhill very quickly after that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord.
That's actually a pretty good one-liner. Come on.
Went to see a magician show last night, and he turned the whole audience into windmills. Have to say, I was a big fan.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, that's not... That one felt uncomfortable. That was like a difficult swallow, yeah?
Yeah. Fella goes into a shop and says, can I get a piece of string? The man says, how long would you like it? He says, well, I was hoping to keep it. See what you brought on.
I know, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Anyway.
I hope you're pleased with yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I have to go out here soon. I have to go to a silent auction, actually. Hoping to get my hands on a dog whistle and two mimes. Yeah, you know what they call a dog that meditates, don't you?
What?
And a werewolf. Yeah.
Did you hear about that cheese factory that blew up in France?
No.
There was debris everywhere.
Good Lord, yeah. Trying to lose a bit of weight myself, actually. I was going to try an all-almond diet, but it sounds like it's just nuts.
What happens when a bird meets a lawnmower?
What happens?
Shredded tweet.
Oh, dear God. Haven't seen me old mate Cliff actually in ages. Must drop over sometime.
Oh my God.
Oh God. What's
got five toes and isn't your foot? My foot.
Oh dear. Do you know what? That's very like my joke about retirement. Didn't work either.
Radio Nova. Seriously addictive. Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Right, there you go, folks. Some of the bits from... I hate calling them best bits, to be honest with you, because it sort of implies that you only had four or five.
So, out of this, what is it, 4, 8, 12?
We were at it for...
So, at the 21 hours of live radio... Here's the 3 minutes we thought were actually funny.
Yeah. So they're just, it's a casual selection.
Casual selection of highlights, yeah.
Yeah. Right, so off into yet another week of who knows what.
Of who knows what, yeah. Have a good one. Enjoy yourselves. If you want something, don't go get it. It's not worth it.
Says the man who wants everything.
Says the man who wants everything. Trust me. I'm constantly living in an unfulfilled state. And I'm very undeserving because I literally get everything I want.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.